City Council meeting, September 19th, 2022.
To the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please. Councilor White?
Here.
Councilor Cunningham?
Here.
Councilor Sullivan?
Here.
Councilor Hobson?
Here.
And Scott Rutter, the mayor, is here as well. Thank you. Any adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Anyone like to speak to council? Seeing none, thank you. Economic development report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience, just a couple things to include as part of the economic development report. So one thing that we talked about was the upcoming URA sunset, being that economic development just kind of overlaps with that in terms of the projects and the different intricate parts of that committee. We made the committee aware that that's in the coming future in order to get any feedback to bring to council. They did not provide any feedback. The other thing that we got was we got an application from Kimberly Todd from CCD Business Development to be on the board. So that puts us at 5 board members currently with the endeavor to get up to 6.
And is Fallon still the chair of that?
She is.
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
Any questions for Thomas on the economic development? Thank you. Park Board, Councilor Sullivan, please.
We actually do not have the minutes on that yet. Basically, to sum it up, Mark was actually present at the meeting to discuss what the actual Park Board duties are.
How'd that go?
It went okay. I think because they want to, you know, do some fundraising and things like that, so it'd have to be through a 501c3 for any projects they're looking at helping with.
Can the city get a 501c3?
We already, Mr. Mayor, members of council and the audience, we are already a nonprofit. So typically what happens is that when we have bodies that are doing different things, like the senior board, they have a 501c3. The library board has a 501c3. Typically you see them as groups associated with different functions of the city to provide the tax benefits for people that donate money to whatever endeavor it is, and as well as to do the banking necessary.
But technically the city is not a 501c3. We cannot be a fund, can't hold a bake sale per se.
Well, yes, we could hold one. It's the 501c3 doesn't necessarily do that, but what we have is staff that are professionally trained to deal with the money handling and those types of things. What we don't have are the financial policies in place to support other groups handling money for their protection and the city's protection, as well as the, you know, someone who donates to a non 501c3 or to the city doesn't get the tax benefits of those donations.
So in other words, it would be appropriate for the Park Board to have a 501c3.
They would be very helpful for them. They are working on being associated. There's a couple groups that want to help them out in that area. The other thing is that your standing committees at councils are defined within your municipal code, and they are recommending bodies of council, and that's their primary function. So They are not identified as fundraising groups. They are identified for that specific purpose of evaluating and bringing forward recommendations for you to consider.
Thank you for the explanation. Anything else, Councilor Sullivan?
I think that was...
Any questions for Alicia? Thank you very much. Public Works, Department reports. Public Works, not seeing Andy Howell here. Mark Bauer, administration.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, members of the audience. Just to help Andy out a little bit, you might recall about a year and a half ago, we budgeted for the replacement of one of the Public Works 3/4-ton pickups. That vehicle finally came in and was picked up last week by Public Works. So that vehicle is now in operation. We had, the chief and I met with the new school superintendent to introduce ourselves to her as well as her to us, but also to begin a conversation on the new SRO agreements that we have with school district to gauge her interest in continuing those, and she is very extremely interested in continuing those. Sees the benefit to that, as you know, as well as the school board. So we look to see that continued for another 3 or 4 year term in the future. We also will be bringing her in to council on October 3rd to share her goals with you as your new school superintendent for the community. The chief and I attended our local emergency preparedness meeting that was set up over at the fire station and included fire personnel, police personnel, the county emergency manager, Wayne Stinson, as well as the school's new school superintendent and a couple of the local ministers in town. Whose churches have been used for all different types of things during emergencies locally. And it was a very engaging meeting. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. One is updating our specific emergency plan for the city that has not been updated now for several years. So we need new names, contacts, those types of things. A lot of that conversation focused on emergency generation, standby generations for facilities, because one of the things that we found out as a result of that is the school district's facilities are not wired or set up in any way, shape, or form to handle emergency generation. So their use outside of a non-powered facility in the event we were to lose power during a major disaster of any kind, they would not be able to provide heat and, you know, cooking and that type of thing through their facilities. We would probably be well served to be looking at the community center and getting a standalone standby generator for that facility, and that's something we'll
maybe,
be pursuing.
Maybe Brandon can seek that grant.
Yes, you know, unfortunately, it was not successful this year in getting another generator, pull behind generator, but. You know, there's a lot we can do with even small 5,000 watt, 6,500 watt generators, which is one thing that the chief was talking with the county about today.
To make a small point, just picked one up today, but Costco has Honeywell 22 kWs for $5,200.
Yeah, well, it's... The chief has made even get us a better price through the county surplus process on some Honda generators. So we're hopeful. We'll see how that all works out. But, you know, that was one of the big concerns is, you know, how do we get fuel out of the ground? You know, how do we heat and cook and those types of things to shelter people during some major emergency where we were to lose power. So there'll be another meeting set up sometime in October to continue that conversation. So
look forward. You mentioned about the generators, the 2200 watt, et cetera. Those aren't very large generators. Where would you use them at?
No, I was speaking of the 5,000 or 6,500 watt ones, not necessarily the 22, but they would, for example, power a good portion of City Hall with a 5 or 6,500 watt generator, as well as a good portion of the police station, for example. Also, the smaller generators, like a 2,200 watt, would be good to put up on our internet system when we get it installed up at the reservoir up on the hill, so that we can maintain our computer system operation during those times as well.
The reason I was asking is the standard RV is 4 kW.
Sure.
What would it take to power up the community center? What size would it take?
Depends on what you want to power.
Yeah, I can't answer that exactly right now, but with wanting to operate the kitchen, that would be the primary demander.
Refrigeration takes a ton.
What's that?
That's part of our research that Wayne wants.
Yeah.
The overall power for each of us.
Yeah.
Probably around 750 kW.
So,
okay, because when I powered a medical unit, okay, that I had a bank of those, and we could run just about everything except x-ray off 750.
So one of the items for the emergency preparedness study is to look at power demands of the facilities that are necessary to be operated, so that we do know if we could call in a generator, for example, if one was available somewhere. So we'd know all of that information up front. We wouldn't have to waste time during an emergency for the electrician to try and figure out what the load is necessary to run those facilities. So that's part of the whole package. I know the mayor had a question. I don't know how many of you received audit surveys from our auditors this year, but the question was, you know, as you look at that, it said, well, if you don't know the answer, contact the city staff that can answer it for you. And they do want you to complete those to the best of your knowledge for inclusion in the audit package. So please complete what you can on those and get those submitted to the city.
Mark, going back to the community center,
mm-hmm.
not only for electrical power, but it may be a wise idea to have an emergency water supply there, because if you have a major power failure, could not that affect the water department?
The you know, one of the
do they have backup generators there? Right?
They have some, but I don't know how much.
You know, and also the water department was present at the meeting and did share with that information. Their major concern would be in the event of an earthquake, fracturing one of the lines coming off the main reservoirs and then emptying those reservoirs in short order, not just to empty them, but to dump them down on the community below them possibly. But so they're working on getting the proper valving that would sense large flows, for example, to shut off automatically. So that's some of the things they're working on. So it was, like I said, it was a very informative meeting.
It's a large flow fighting a fire. You don't want it to shut off.
That's right. And, you know, those are the types of things they'll be looking at. But, you know, even if they have a large leak somewhere, you know, they don't want to lose their reservoir as a result of it. So another thing that we've been dealing with is our email server was hacked, and some of you may have received emails from us, but One of the things you want to look for is not just the name of who it's coming from, but the email address next to it, because it'll be a real funny, strange email associated with it if it's not a city or someone that you recognize. So our attorneys got some as well that came from our server. So that was that's been something that our IT now is dealing with to clean up for us. I think that's, I was just also going to mention the park board meeting that I felt went fairly well and was fairly well received. So it, a lot of questions are generated, but a lot of answers. Yes, I believe I covered that on at the last meeting, but we did meet, I did meet with the Roseburg city manager, and we did, our contract will be being taken through their council as well now, and we'll be moving forward with that agreement to continue that with the city of Roseburg. So.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Any questions for Mr. Bauer? Okay, thank you. Moving right along. New business. Resolution 22-1064. Excuse me. How can we help you today?
I'm here to listen to you guys and get familiar with you.
This is Blake Cordell. He was the officer for Roseburg that had Nike. He ended up leaving Roseburg, and he's a reserve officer for us and wanted to attend a meeting. So,
perfect.
So
thank you. By all means, and your guest is?
That's my oldest daughter, Evelyn. She's the oldest at four.
So. Nice to meet you, Evelyn.
Nice to meet you, too.
She was excited because she got to wear a fancy dress.
Going out with Dad.
Yeah.
Okay, Resolution 22-1064. Abandoned vehicles, IGA with Douglas County. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Resolution number 22-1064, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with Douglas County for storage and disposal of abandoned recreational vehicles and motorhomes towed from city property.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Staff report, Chief Sardi, please.
Mayor, council, community members. This is just a renewal of the IGA that we did last year. And basically what happened was, in a nutshell, we had multiple different RVs throughout the county where the tow companies were not towing them because of the cost of the tow. And getting rid of those RVs was more than what it was worth for the tow companies, so they quit towing them. I found out that the sheriff's office actually towed them up to the dump. So we reached out to the commissioners in regards to that to see if we can't jump on board to do the same thing. And they did an IGA, which allows us to tow it straight to the dump, and then they charge us $10 a day for up to, I think it's 60 days as required by law before we can start dismantling it. And then they will dismantle it and give us the bill. So this is just a renewal. Staff recommends that we approve this resolution if we could.
Thank you, Chief. So the RV that's parked at Kelly Corner is already in the process of being dismantled.
Yeah. I noticed they put a fence up to keep it in place. They didn't want it to get out, so, yeah.
Or anybody else get it.
Yeah. A few minutes before our workshop, there was actually two gentlemen removing the refrigerator from that vehicle. So it's continuing to be dismantled.
The tires were gone when I came through this morning. So.
Yeah, both sets of emergencies are gone anyway. Thank you, Chief.
Yep.
Any questions for Chief Sardi?
Yeah, Chief. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it's $10 per day. Up to 60 days?
Yes.
And then
we've been pushing it to 90 just to be a little on the conservative end because there's some problems.
Or until you find out who the owner is.
If we can, yeah.
If you can.
Yes.
And what about the cost to dispose of it?
Each motorhome is going to be different, so or trailer. So depending on that, it's going to be a weight issue. The dump's going to basically destroy it. So each one will
be. So we don't know what actually individual cost.
No, I'm guessing it's going to be the hourly rate of whatever it costs the employees to do it.
Chief Councilor Cunningham just noted that in the second whereas on the resolution, last sentence, it says the state required 90 days elapsed.
Yes.
So is it 60?
So it's 60 for a lot of property, but some of the stuff that's like more personal, we do 90s. That's why it's the same as 90 days, but I think what we do actually go for.
Very good, thank you. Any questions for...
So, for example, in this case, abandoned vehicles, the police department cannot access the interior of the vehicle to determine what personal property is in that vehicle. So, we have a 90-day as the conservative. That's the highest number of days before we can actually...
Well, it makes sense.
We never access it anyways. We don't access it. We have the dump. Take it to the dump.
So where do you put it before you take it to the dump?
It goes straight to the dump up on the hill, and they park a whole bunch of them up there.
Is Andy involved, did he?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, Andy didn't like the one at his shop the last go around. So.
Do you have an estimate of how many of these we get a year?
We have only had one.
Just one this whole year?
Yeah. Okay. Last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
The bigger issue is tow companies. And finding a tow company to tow an abandoned RV specifically is very problematic right now.
So how do we handle that? Probably to tow anything abandoned.
Right.
Yes.
Actually, right now, it's a whole other topic and whole other issues that Kakuta Towing is going to quit towing. They're the only ones on our tow list. So right now, we don't have a tow. I actually wanted my officer to tow a vehicle up on Glenhart and couldn't get a tow. So it's still sitting there. So we're working that angle. I'm working with OSP right now to try to figure out how we can do this. I don't know. Roseburg's Towing is contracted with the city of Roseburg, and they don't really want to come down here. I'm looking at Joe's Towing, and I think maybe Bill's Towing out of Canyonville. So I'm trying to get a tow company that would be willing to come up and tow, but
is,
maybe we need to get our tow truck. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Is that a long shot?
I don't know. We don't need a tow truck.
Extra academy training?
Yeah, we don't know. No, we don't need a tow truck.
No. Thank you. Any more questions for Chief Sergeant? Okay, council action requesting a motion on resolution 22-1064, abandoned vehicles, IPA with Douglas County.
I make a motion that we pass number 22-1064, abandoned vehicles, IGA.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much, Council. Resolution 22.
That should be
correction.
That should be
1065. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
1065 bid award for the community center roof. Mr. McIntyre, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Resolution number 22-1065, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Rooftoppers Incorporated for the replacement and rehabilitation of the community center roof for an amount not to exceed $211,147 plus a 10% contingency.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Who's got the staff report?
I've got that, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Power.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, and members of the audience. As you will recall, during our the funding exercise with the money that we got from the federal government, who we now have the second portion of as well, the other $620,000 now be fully funded through that. One of the projects was a replacement of the community center roof, and it was being estimated at that time that it would cost us approximately $275,000 to replace that roof. So we did open bids. Our engineer designed the project and put the together the contract. We had a pre-bid meeting where we had approximately seven contractors present, and we all went up on the roof and looked at everything, and we got three bids as a result of that. We had the low bid at $211,147 and a high bid of $348,454, and one in the middle at $272,000.
That just blows my mind. There's that big a spread.
What was the difference? Different shingles or something?
We don't know. Each bidder has a different bidding strategy. But if you look at, for example, the high bidder really loaded their mobilization charges, for example, where it was $4,000 or $5,000 bid by the other two bidders, and they had like $50,000 in their mobilization costs. And the low bidder is out of Vancouver. And so that was, you know, it was surprising. But they all use different strategies as they look at how they put their bids together. So we don't know specifically. All we can do is compare them side by side and look at the numbers in comparison to the engineer's estimate. So the engineer's final estimate on this came in at $214,000. And the low bid was $211,147. We are asking for an additional 10% contingency of $21,115 because we don't know for sure what if anything they'll find underneath in some of the problem areas that were identified. For example, around roof vents and drainage areas that weren't properly designed. Is there any damage underneath there? So,
how many years are the roof guaranteed for it? I mean, there's different shingles. Does that come into the bid?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's part of the bid process. This is a system. So everything is provided by one manufacturer, and that's one of the reasons why it won't be constructed until next spring at the earliest, because they got to wait on the material to get here, the shipping of that material. That system, they all bid on the same system that was specified by the engineer, so that wasn't a question at all. But
did anybody do a bad?
This roof didn't last very long.
But 30 years, I believe, is the warranty on the roof.
Did anybody do a background check on this company?
The engineer's due diligence is just to review the bids and accept the bids. They don't do any type of look forward. I did, however, pull up their website and take a look at the, you know, their information on their website. It's hard to say.
The only reason I asked, John Glenn said one time, he's getting her blast off in state, in space. They asked him, what was the last thing that went through your mind? And he said, this is built by the lowest bidder.
Yeah. Right. So, it's, you know, it's a chance that we take with all low bids. You know, there is, it's a high bar to meet to challenge the low bid on a project. So typically that is not part of the analysis. It's just simply you bid this, you have a bid performance bond that you have to perform under, and that's what we take to cover ourselves in that event.
I did see that Sean said in one of his emails that they have an impressive resume and the past projects are impressive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So at least it sounds like he checked it out a little bit.
That's a good indicator.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if we approve this, sign a contract with them, they don't do it till next spring,
mm-hmm.
and costs keep increasing.
They're held to this. Yep, they're held to this bid.
Yep.
That was specifically part of the bid because of the concern over getting the material here.
At that juncture, they could turn around and walk away.
It's not quite that simple.
But
there's, again, they have a performance bond that they have to perform under, so we can access their bond if we have to.
Perfect. Any comments from that audience? Any more questions for Mr. Bauer? Okay, seeking council action approval on resolution number 22-1065, a bid to award for a community center roof.
I move that we accept resolution 22-1065 as presented.
Have a motion looking for a second?
Second.
Motion in 2 seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. That was Alan and Alicia, Mark.
Thank you. I've got that.
Ordinance number 22-707, illicit discharge. Read by title only, please, Mr. McIntosh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, members of the audience. Ordinance number 22-707, An ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council adopting rules and regulations regarding illicit discharge into the city's municipal storm system in conjunction with the requirements from the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ.
Thank you very much. We went through the staff report last time. Do we need to revisit that? Anybody have any questions on that?
Happy to answer any questions, Mr. Mayor. Hope you've council has had the opportunity to look through the exhibit, you know, just kind of where that's anchored, will be anchored in the code, and just essentially what it does, what it accomplishes. Pretty important piece of rules and regulations we're adding in there to protect our system.
The only thing that I had questions about, I guess, is getting discharges that come into the storm system that we can't identify where it comes from, and then being liable for that too.
Yeah. At this point in time, we're not required to have a permit for discharge. We're not required to treat our discharges. So that is one of the issues that we know is out there, is that you never know in the middle of the night somebody dumps something in a storm drain catch basin. And, you know, in some cases we can trace it back to some degree, but we can't locate who did it. And proving who did it would be a whole nother another issue. So those are certainly risks of just operating a stormwater system.
What we have seen so far for the benefit of council is that these cases do tend to be complaint driven, but people are very willing to submit those types of complaints if it's something very malicious, like the most recent case, oil, very egregious material going into the system. So the citizens have been responsive in that regard, and that's kind of what we're trying to anchor on and use that resource.
This may be just a very small question, but you get people out there washing their cars. Do they consider it illicit? That they're washing their cars with soap and water.
Yeah, you want to speak to that?
Sure, yeah. There's a list of exemptions, and
yeah,
I think
that's what I was looking for, and I didn't haven't found it yet.
Yeah, so residential car washing is number 16.
Yeah.
Page 16.
Should it be? Page five, number 16.
Which is quite interesting, because in Washington there was no exemption for that, and we actually had kits that we passed out for people who wanted to wash their cars to protect the storm drain.
Little hot dogs later on.
It was very difficult to manage, as you might imagine.
There are some things out there that you might not think they are malicious, but they are. For example, if you were treating an in-ground pool and putting those types of chemicals in there, we don't want that going into the system, because it's ultimately going into the river, and it has a propensity of killing good and bad things. Nutrients in the river and just the normal things.
It's okay to swim in it, right?
if we're trying to chlorinate and just the whole river, then maybe, but it's a no-no around anywhere.
Going back to that car wash, I mean, my God, that's going to be kind of hard to enforce.
No, that's an exemption.
Yeah. It was very difficult to enforce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's it right here, yeah.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Okay, looking for comments from the audience. Council action. We need to move this forward to the next reading, please. So I need a motion to move 22-707 illicit discharge ordinance to the next meeting for second reading.
I so move.
Have a motion?
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Mr. Bauer, any upcoming items?
Excuse me, I'm just making a note here. Yes, we'll have several upcoming issues moving forward, and I mentioned them at the last meeting, but there'll be franchise agreements coming forward for the two utilities, DFN and CenturyLink.
Thank you. Did you ever find a copy of the CenturyLink contract?
No, unfortunately, we never did. But we have a new one that's drafted by them that we will be modifying.
Perfect. Thank you. Now, the agenda items from council.
Go ahead.
I was curious if the Riverbend stage contract went through for the roofing.
Before Andy had gone on vacation, he had not yet got any information back yet from the proposed
Winston Roofing.
I guess it's only been a week.
Yeah, so we are patiently waiting for that.
Tough stacking these up till close.
Yeah. Mine is just for the council to take in consideration and to think about. We have not had a school liaison person here, and one of the things that that's been discussed is that maybe if there was some type of stipend and it also has some assigned responsibilities, especially in with the government classes or whatnot, that might not be a bad idea for the council to take a look at and to think about.
Just a second, Councilor. You're going to give a kid a stipend to show up at council meetings?
And
yet we're here as volunteers. I find them just a little bit of angst in that.
Well, you're being paid what you're worth.
Just saying.
But is this something for that would be an enticement in the Navy where they could actually not vote, of course, but you know, participate, ask questions.
Maybe they could give some kind of a grade advantage or something for them.
And it could be a benefit. And it would be contingent that they would show up, and two, that they would interact, not just give a school report.
This would be a good discussion with your superintendent next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Which I will not be here.
I'm not sure maybe Alicia knows. I know that usually our school liaison came out of the leadership group, and I don't know if they have a leadership class anymore or a leadership group anymore. Do they still?
They do.
Oh, they do. Okay. I know for a while it kind of faded away. So. Mm-hmm. Right.
But this would be something that might be worth for the council to consider and to look into.
Sure. I agree we need to have someone here from the school. Absolutely. They just don't like that. Jealousy.
But you might get some quality people that would be applying.
Well, if they can get lucky, we'll go with that. Anything else from councilors? Good to the order. Check copies were in our packet and claimed in excess of $500. Announcements: Oktoberfest, September 30th to October 2nd. And it's going to be in all three of the parks. Should be a good time. Executive session, Mr. Bauer.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor, and members of council, members of the audience. So we do have two items for executive session tonight, pursuant to ORS 192-660, Section 2, a discussion on the sale of surplus property, and also a continued discussion on the siphon project.
And
how
long do you plan on going through?
Estimated this? 30 minutes.
30 minutes? Okay.
And if not, we'll extend.
Okay, so very good. So I'm going to call this meeting to close as we go into the executive session.
Suspending council meeting at 7:44 p.m.